Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best, the GOATs, since 1974, celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. They've been doing it for 50 daggum years. They are absolute pros, but you don't come to hear me brag on my friends at AdCraft. You come for the coaches. Tonight, we have Baker head coach Miguel Regalado coming in with what they tell me is the most important year of a coach's tenure, that second year. Coach, is it, you had a pretty good first year. Do you think it's true? The second year is one where you could definitely see big growth?
You know, Corey, I can actually speak to that. I go back to my stint as the first college head coach at Clark University. We go into our very first year playing in 2019. We win two games, and things are looking like we're about to take off and get this thing rolling. And bam, COVID hits, and we take a brand new program and erased year two. We didn't get to see, like most programs, didn't get to see our kids, all the way until they reported to camp. And I will tell you, losing year two was devastating for me at Clark University. As devastating as it was at Clark, I think it is just as important here at Baker in year two. When I got here, and really in about 8 days, it'll be a year. And what we accomplished, I felt in such a short time, I thought was incredible. A tribute to the way our kids bought in and to the staff that I put together here. Part of it was here already, and part of it came along. Was really awesome to see. But I tell you what, expectations are high. They've always been high at Baker University. When you're at Baker, people expect you to win and win every single year. And so what we did in just a short time, I can tell things are going to be magnified, and we got to be ready to roll going into 24.
I mean, it's such a long history at Baker. I mean, when your football program is has history going back to years that start with 18, and B, you have the crown as the winningest program in NAI history. Yeah, I can imagine there's some expectations there.
There is, and it's crazy. It's not like you'd think as long as Baker's been playing football, there'd be 100 coaches. There really hasn't. There has not been that many coaches in Baker University history. And so I'm really, really honored to have the opportunity. I never really did think this would happen. It was part of the reason that I went and started a program up in Dubuque, Iowa, and just because I didn't think things were rolling here at Baker. And people don't leave Baker. I figured that out very quickly when I got here. Baker's the kind of place you either never leave or you leave and come back like I did. So I'm real fortunate to be here.
Now let's talk about Clark for a minute. You leave you start up that Clark team, and you get it. You mentioned that the year two was difficult. And, it absolutely was for everyone, but at, where Clark is now and, that trajectory, that's definitely good stuff, but it was game two for y'all last year was Clark. Was it a little weird staring back across and going, wait a minute, did I wear the right shirt today?
It was. I tried not to make a big deal about it all week to our kids. I learned a long time ago, and actually I learned really a lot, Corey, at Clark. I learned how to be a head coach. There's nothing that I don't think can be thrown at me now that I haven't seen or had to deal with. as I did in that time there through bringing in a new program and dealing with COVID. But to answer your question, it was surreal. You know, I have nothing but great memories at Clark. Yes, we did not show the wins. You know, I don't think anybody knows what it's really like to have to start a program from nothing. I mean, there was no locker room, there was no football field, there was no uniforms, there was no helmets, there was no kids on campus. And for us to you know, put that thing together and put a roster together and begin play in what I believe is one of the most difficult conferences in the country and to do it with true freshmen. And win two games in year one and have that excitement going into year two. And then, of course, you know, the bomb dropped with COVID. And then I don't know that we ever really recovered there. And you know what? It taught me how to be a head coach. I don't think without that time there and building a program and showing Baker University, hey, I could put together a team that could come into Liston Stadium in 2022 and get a win was shocking. And I think without that experience and without us having done that, I don't think I'd be the head coach here. So it was kind of bittersweet because I know that had a lot to do with me being here. And but I'm very proud of what our staff accomplished and what our kids accomplished in that time at Clark.
Yeah, that was definitely a game back in 22 where you look at that and you know, you get that 20-19 win over a Baker team who was trying to figure out its offensive identity all year long, and man, you found a way to do it. And yeah, look, you know, whether it's you or Coach Hicks, honestly, I think the future is definitely bright at Clark. You go from Peru State and Clark, and yes, there's no such thing as a moral victory, but a 24-0 loss against Grandview isn't the worst thing in the world.
No, you know, they're playing with some dudes, Corey. You know that. They're playing with some dudes. I mean, that's the best you can say it. Coach Polly had a great game plan. Coach Morse had a great game plan. But there's times in our league, especially when you go to Grandview, that you're going to be lining up and you better be playing perfect because one-on-one matchups are not going to be in your favor. And you have to take care of the football, and you're going to have to find a way to get explosive plays on what I think is one of the top four or five defenses in the league, or in the country, excuse me, every single year at Grandview. Coach Woodley does an incredible job there, and he recruits to his system, he recruits to his philosophy. And so it was tough, but you're right. To come out of that thing with that score, no moral victories, especially at Baker, but, you know, we knew we have a good football team. We're just not a great football team yet.
And then the next game against Graceland, how much did Graceland beating Benedictine a couple weeks before help your kids not take the Jackets for granted?
You know, it helped a bunch because you can only – stats – you can look at stats, but until you see a team beat a team like Benedictine, that tells us Graceland's for real. And I knew that, trust me. I said all year long to our staff that, listen, with the expansion of the playoffs, I believe we can get into this thing at 8-2. I really do believe that. Now, the question is going to be, you got Grandview and you got Benedictine. The key, guys, is going to be Graceland. Because here's the thing. If we don't get it done at Grandview, that next week is gigantic. So I thought our staff did a fantastic job of putting the Grandview game away as quickly as possible, erase it from memory, because if we were hungover in that game going into Graceland, we're in big trouble because Coach Ross is a fantastic football coach. He's got some crazy weapons over there with his kid at quarterback and Monroe at receiver, and they're like playing video games right now on the field. So, very, very helpful to see them beat Benny, but also a great job by our staff and our kids of flushing Grandview and moving on because that was the game that was going to get us in or keep us out.
Then you rattle off, including that Graceland game, four in a row, including beating a good Mid-America Nazarene team that would, man, they'd make life real interesting down the stretch there in your division. But you have that loss to Benedictine. And, boy, That gives you a little bit of stress going into selection weekend. Talk to me about, you know, the messaging for your kids, knowing that you've, at this point, you've done all you can do and you're just waiting for good news.
You know, it's crazy. We get done beating Missouri Valley and we're on the field and we're celebrating and enjoying ourselves because we're not sure if that's our final game or not. So I wanted to make sure that our kids enjoyed each other, enjoyed their families, because that could be the last time. Well, as we're enjoying ourselves, Coach Sprayberry comes up to me and with his phone and says, "Coach, you need to watch this." And he puts on the live Benedictine Mid-America game. And I'll be honest with you, I did not think that Mid-America could go in there and get that done. I won't lie. I felt like Benny was going to win and Benny was going to represent South in the playoffs. But I kept telling our team week after week, just take care of your business. That's all you can do. When we lost at Benny, we lost control of our own destiny, is what I told our kids. We're no longer in control of our destiny. All we can do is take care of our own business and hope that things shake out and somebody knocks off Benny. And sure enough, it did. And so I'm very proud of our team and our coaches for staying focused week after week, not looking at the standings, not looking at the rankings. Because, Corey, that's what killed us at Baker. When I was here before, you're used to starting in the top 15 in the country, and all you got to do is just win, and you're going to stay there. It took forever for us to break the top 25. And so we're sitting week after week, and I'm thinking, okay, we might not get in at 8-2. And we can't break the top 25. Well, we finally broke in. Mid-America knocks off Benny. We, of course, had beaten Mid-America handedly the way that Benny had beaten us handedly. And so now it's just a matter of how do the voters see this thing? How do the people that are making these decisions see it? Of course, we all think we're going to, you know, should get in. And maybe there's a case to say all three of us should have got in. But bottom line is it was out of our hands. That's what happened at Benny. We lost the championship game. Credit to them. They outplayed us that day. It was a miserable day, but they outplayed us. And then it turned into a three-way tie, and we were just very fortunate to get in.
You do make your way into the playoffs there. You beat a Louisiana Christian team who was very good. Just that game was an absolute delight to watch. Two teams that you knew could run the ball extremely well, could pass the ball extremely well, were dual threat with their quarterbacks when the need arose. That was just a treat. But unfortunately, your season comes to an end in Kentucky, where Georgetown hands you a loss there. Talk to me about the difference between, obviously, you know, it's two different running styles between LC and Georgetown, but just talk to me about the difference in the competition between your week one and week two games in the playoffs.
You know, we felt we matched up very well with Louisiana Christian. We felt like they had some really good athletes on the field, but we just felt like our run game, we felt really good about our run game going into that week. And they stymied us in the first half. We really, there was not a whole lot going well for us in that first half. But we also forget that Truman Julesgaard was playing defensive back a year ago. I mean, the guy played in three games a year ago, was playing defensive back. Coach Morse, my offense coordinator, moves Truman to quarterback in June of the summer. And all of a sudden, Truman's starting his first college football game at quarterback, first college playoff game, I should say. He was a little tight. He was a little tight. And which is totally to be expected, but we came out relaxed in the second half, and I felt, Corey, that we could wear Louisiana Christian down. What I thought, looking on tape, was this is a team that I thought if we could get it to the third and fourth quarter, we could wear them down with our run game, and that's what happened. In the run game, the all of a sudden in the second half, the run game took off, and we finished, and we were able to close out. But they have an extremely good football team. Their head coach, I really got to know in pregame, and just a really good guy and a good coach. You know, I used to complain at Clark about traveling 6 hours. These guys are driving like 19 hours to play Ottawa, Arizona, and are losing by less than a possession. I mean, that's tough to do, and they do a fantastic job. We move on to Georgetown. totally different thoughts going on to that game. I mean, we're looking at this team and I'm thinking, okay, this is a physically better football team than we are. So we're going to have to find a way to come out fast, start fast, and see if we can take the crowd out of it and just see if we can put some doubt into their head. We were not able to do that. They jumped us. It was almost totally different. They were thinking the same thing. I could almost get inside coach's head over there. And I think he was thinking this Baker team might be dangerous if they get into the third and fourth quarter. We need to put them away early. And there was a trick play and there was this and that. And they got after us. I did challenge our team at halftime. I want to know what you're about by what you show me in the second half. And they came out and they competed and they moved the ball and put a couple touchdowns up. There was a questionable fumble at the goal line that would have made it a two-possession game late in the third quarter. I would love to have seen that game, but it didn't. And credit to him. You know, I've coached against Coach for a long time over there at Georgetown when he was at Ohio Dominican and I was at Urbana University. He's a fantastic football coach and has done a great job at Lindsey Wilson, done a great job at Georgetown. They were the better football team, simple as that.
One thing that I'm interested, because I think you're the first round victor that we've had this season, and you also hosted. I've heard a lot of just scuttlebutt as I've been talking to coaches about the quick turnaround, especially for the road teams trying to figure out on that tight schedule how to get that trip. Did you feel like as the home team against LC that really gave you some advantage?
You know, if we had come out and started faster than we did, I would have said yes. I will tell you this, as a rookie head coach in the playoffs, not a rookie head coach, obviously from Clark, but a rookie head coach in the playoffs, I couldn't imagine having to put together travel plans, housing, food, get on a bus from Louisiana Christian, drive to Baldwin City, Kansas, and get off that bus ready to play football, and they did. I thought it was incredible the way Coach had them guys ready to play. To answer your question, I think it's a huge advantage to be at home in that first round. I really do. I thought it was a mad scramble getting our team ready to go and play Georgetown in the second round. But I think if you're a team that's consistently in this and you kind of know how it works, it probably gets easier. I had no experience with it. And don't get me wrong, Corey, our trip was very, very smooth to Georgetown. So I'm very happy about that. But I think it's a huge advantage to be at home, period. But to be at home in that first round of the playoffs when that schedule is so tight is really big.
Obviously, this is your second stint at Baker. It's your first, obviously, as head coach. Jason Thorne goes and gets himself, I believe, if I remember correctly, an analyst job at a nicely sized school. Never going to fault anyone for doing that. I mean, good Lord. That's you got to take that. You got to do what's yes, right sir, for your family. And when those dollar signs like that come your way, you take them. but obviously, Coach Thorne had an absolutely fantastic standard. Obviously, the standard goes back a long way, but the standard that he was able to continue himself, how does that play into what you're doing with keeping the standard, trying to find and make the team your own while, you know, doing what you have to do to keep the Baker standard?
You know, it's hard to replace somebody like JT. Everybody loves JT. JT is the salt of the earth. I loved working with JT from 08 to 16. I was really excited to see him get the opportunity to be the head coach at Baker because he earned it. He had been here the entire time that we built this thing. He was here before me with Mike. And then all our time together all the way up to the 16 season, the national championship run. So I was really excited to see JT get his shot to do it. And here's the thing. JT did not leave the cupboards bare here when we got here. They were just young. And, you know, there are some good football players on this team that we did not recruit. Now, we infused them with a great class of 23, but I tell you what, There were some really good football players on this team, including, you know, Rashawn Graves and Truman Jules Garden and Gavin Greenwood. And, you know, and that's credit to JT and his staff. They brought in good players here. And I agree with you, the chance to go from Baker University to Mississippi State, I don't think that happens very often. And so I was excited to see him do that, but more excited for him to call me and say, hey, Regs, I'm about to make this move to Mississippi State. I would love for you to have the opportunity to be the next head coach at Baker. And so I'm forever grateful to JT for throwing my name to Susan Decker like that. And, you know, the fact that we've worked together for so long, I kind of know what that standard is at Baker, but to be able to put my own touches on it, my own fingerprints all over it is also pretty special.
Well, let's talk about your team on the field. Obviously, you know, your offense last year, the most important player on the field on offense, obviously the quarterback, touches the ball dang near every play. You got a good one. A converted DB. There's been a rash of those lately with the kid at Northwestern as well. But look, you find a kid that you said you installed him in June.
In June.
In
he
June.
Got, he got about 2.5 months, Corey.
And he still went for 2,500 yards through the air, 765 on the ground, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Did you see that happening? I mean, obviously you can dream, but I mean, was that the expectation?
I would be lying, Corey, if I didn't say I expected him to play really well, and I'll tell you why. I think I have the best quarterback coach and offense coordinator in the country, and Jake Morse. He played for me, was player of the year in 2011 for me. He is the quarterback whisperer of the NAIA, in my opinion. He saw in Truman very quickly. He said, Coach, there's this kid over here that on the other side of the ball I think we need to take a look at. Now, we had Sam coming back, and Sam played his butt off in 22. And so I said, Jake, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through spring. I want to know at the end of spring, do you feel comfortable with Sam being the guy, or do we need to make a move? Sam had an unbelievable spring. Sam played his butt off and played as well as he could play. But we felt like, you know what? He needs some competition. And so we made this move, which Coach Pauly, my defense coordinator, absolutely hated, of course. He was losing his best defensive back, or what we felt was going to be one of his best defensive players going into his second year only. And so Jake worked with Truman every day, starting June 1st, all the way through camp. And Jake had him playing at a very, very high level. And I think you'll see when you look at his stats, I mean, it started slow and it just kept getting better and better and better and better. And all of a sudden we realized about 3 or 4 games in the season, Corey, that Truman Julesgaard is our offense right now. He has the ability to throw the ball and get it in the hands of the right people. And if those people aren't open, then he has the ability with his legs to make plays with his feet. And he's an incredible player of the year in the conference in the South, and just an unbelievable kid, an unbelievable person. But I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Morse on that one.
And then it's not like he doesn't have anyone to throw to. You do lose Will Roberts, who had 712 yards, but you've got DeAndre Pruitt, who was the freshman of the year, Hart South. And then you've got a tight end in Gavin Greenwood, who's first team All Heart South. And, you know, I look at a lot of stats for a lot of all-conference tight ends, and it's like 26 yards. And I go, that's not a tight end. That's a D-gap tackle. That's a weapon right there that you've got.
Yeah. You know, Gavin, first of all, we'll start with Gavin. Gavin's dad played at Baker. Gavin is, we think, just a freaky athlete. I mean, and he's still young, Corey. I mean, he's only played cup football for a few years. He was a baseball guy and then realized he don't want to play baseball. He wants to play football. And so he's just learning the position. And he's extremely, extremely talented, can run routes good enough to block, not a great blocker, but good enough to get the job done. You can spread him out at receiver. You can inline tight end with him. He can stretch the field vertically as a tight end in our league, which is in the NAI. If you have a tight end that can stretch the field vertically, that they become very dangerous. And then you got DeAndre. DeAndre was a true freshman out of Kansas City. And, you know, DeAndre made every single summer workout, which we don't make mandatory for freshmen. And he just wanted to run. He wanted to be in shape. He wanted to learn the offense. And he hit camp in remarkable shape. And he's just a talented dude. When you get the ball in his hands, he can go. Learn the offense, could line him up in multiple positions, which is rare with a true freshman. Normally, you got to lock him in at one position so they don't line up wrong or do the wrong thing. And then Truman just did a great job. Coach Morris put together some phenomenal game plans that spreads the ball around to Rashawn and to Curb and to Gavin and to DeAndre. And for them to go from scoring 17 points a game in 2022 to, I think, 36 or 35 points a game. Just a remarkable effort.
Definitely was. That was one of the biggest things that caught our attention, was going from a 2022 where Baker was really struggling to get the offense going to offensive explosion. You're going, okay, we see what's going on here. Defensively, though, it was more the same. And I'm going to tell you, though, man, you got Shane Squirrelo leaving. That is a name that I have seen for, it feels like, 17 years line up for Baker, and to see you finally lose Shane Squirrelo, oh my gosh, that's going to be a piece out of your offense. Obviously, you bring back your leading tackler and Zach Kramer, and a first team All Heart South safety and Thad Metcalf. But man, that's in between Squirrelo and Lafitte, you've got a couple of big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and I tell you, Corey, I felt just like you. When I was at Clark, I'm like, are these guys ever going to graduate or what? Shane, it's just felt like, man, it's every year this guy's here. And Jaleel, I offered Jaleel at Clark, and I thought I had him. And, you know, I just did the Baker pulled him away. And so it was just, you know, to lose those two guys was tough. Shane is a remarkable football player. He's a high motor guy. And, you know, just a fantastic human. He's going to get his graduate degree. And Jaleel is a lot of the same. They're both going to get their master's degrees, played a lot of great football for us.
Well, Coach, one of the, you know, most fun things about being where we are and how we're positioned in the NAI is to watch the rise of flag football. And, you know, unlike baseball, softball, where they're both in the same season, and it's incredibly difficult to keep up with both at the same time. Yeah, flag's a spring sport. Football's a fall sport. I can deal with both of these. You know, they're in their own little spot there. But Baker is adding a flag football team this year. Talk to me about giving the opportunity to some great young women to play football.
Tell you what, we hired the right guy, Corey. Coach Willie is from Miami. The man eats, breathes, sleeps flag football. He is so passionate. He is always working with his ladies. We got the opportunity to go out and watch them in their first scrimmage during the season. And I tell you what, there are some players on that field now. Coach Willie has recruited very, very well. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing them go out and compete this spring. But to just see them put that program together so quickly, I think is a testament to Susan Decker, our athletic director. She made a fantastic hire. I was fortunate enough to be a part of that committee that got to at least meet Willie and get to know him a little bit and recommend him as the guy. And he's done a fantastic job. He's recruited really well. And they've got some, I told our team after the first scrimmage, I said, Thad and Jaleel, you better be careful, because there's a young lady out there that can flat cover the field right now. And shoot, we might bring her out here, try to take your job. But they've done a fantastic job. He's got a good sized team. I won't claim to know how many, will play on a flag football team at one time. on the field. But I tell you what, it was fun to watch. It was fast. And they have a Baker's got a quarterback that can flat sling that rock. So it's going to be exciting to watch.
That's the biggest thing. You got to have someone who can read defenses at a high level and be able to escape when you need to. I mean, it ain't for that. It's not so much different from the conventional game, but I tell you, flag is definitely it's a different game than conventional football, but I love it just the same.
Oh, it's gonna be neat to watch.
So, Coach, you know, we've talked about you going into your second season, your second season. Of being a head coach, and you know, obviously, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We won't have a major pandemic this time around.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, I know, right? But we know that if you want to be at a championship level, you've got to be constantly improving. What area of your program, whether it's something on the field, something off the field, do you really want to improve on, home in on for your guys in 2024?
I think the biggest thing for us is we need to get physically and mentally tougher, Corey. You know, you look at the Grandview game, our guys competed. They competed for four quarters. But I think physically, Grandview wore us down and beat us up physically. I'm going to go to our second loss at Benny. That was probably the most miserable day I've ever been on a sideline as far as the weather goes. I don't think I've ever seen anything as bad as that was. And the bottom line is our football team, I don't think stepped up to that challenge at all. I think Benny did. I don't think Benny allowed the elements to affect them the way that the elements affected us. We fumbled the first two kick returns. We're down 10 points before our offense even gets to run a play, and you can't do that in a championship football game, which is what that was. So when I had time to reflect after the Georgetown game, Georgetown is another team that reminded me of Grandview. They physically beat us up. So we need to get physically stronger, bigger and stronger in the weight room. We need to get mentally tougher. And that's coaching. That's coaching in the weight room. That's coaching on the field. That's coaching in the off season. Finding those times where you can get your football team out of its comfort zone so that when they hit elements like that Benny game, they're used to it. But we've got to get physically bigger as well up front, and so that we can match up better against a Grandview or a Georgetown team. And so that's the biggest area that we need to tackle in this offseason. We're going to do it through recruiting. We're going to do it through strength and conditioning, and we're going to do it through challenging our guys in the offseason.
Well, one thing I know for certain is that the Hart South is 100% going to be really interesting next year, between Benedictine being very good, between y'all being on the rise, and between Mid-American Nazarene rearing their head. What Clark's going to be able to put together on the north side is going to be interesting. You've got a new entrant in Missouri Valley that's going to be, you know, an up and comer, and then you've got the old standard of Moval that had actually a really good season this year. I think probably the best season that I've seen them have since we've started covering. There's a lot of parity in the Hart South, let's be honest.
I think it's going to be the wild, wild west. I really do. I mean, you throw a Graceland in there, they can knock off anybody any day in the north up there. I think Coach Benavidez is going to do a fantastic job at William Penn. You could already see it with what they did. I mean, you talk about defensively, they seem to be the only team in the entire Hart that had an answer for Graceland. They picked off the quarterback at Benny four times and made that a very, very close ball game. So they're going to be dangerous. The new head coach at Missouri Valley and his 1 year at Peru State before he left for Canada did an unbelievable job of flipping that around very quickly. I mean, it's just going to be nuts, and it's going to start from week one, and there's going to be no breath. It's going to be every single week. You better bring your A game, because you can get knocked off. And you know what? we were very fortunate to get in at 8-2 with this expanded playoffs, but there's no guaranteeing anything in these at-larges. It's going to be crazy, but it's going to be a lot of fun too.
Well, Coach, thanks for coming on the show tonight. We're looking forward to both sides of the conference and seeing, all of the – what exactly is the path that happens in 2024? It's always fun. We can sit here and we can look at the paper and we can look at the advanced metrics and we can prognosticate. But there's nothing that we can do, really, until we can see it on the field. I'm really interested to see how this unfolds. So thank you for coming on the show tonight. We appreciate you a whole bunch for that.
My pleasure, Corey. Thank you for everything you do for NAIA football.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.